We're back on the podcast. It's been 2 months-ish, kind of. But then I actually noticed that, like, I remember I checked my podcast stats thingy, like, once or twice, like, this break time. And I actually realized that my plays are still increasing, even if I do not have any new episodes. So you guys were actually listening to the old ones. Fuck my voice. My voice. But you guys were actually listening to the old ones, which is kind of cool. But this is season one. I actually thought that when I start recording again, like when I start uploading episodes again, I was going to do a whole catch up kind of tag in the first episode. And I really thought I was going to have so much to say. But like, I actually don't have that much to say because almost everything that has happened or that has changed, I found ways to put it into or like make an episode about it. You get to like hashtag podcast queen-ish, you know, all her life situation. She's made it into an episode. But I think that's all that I want to say. What can we expect in season one? You know what? Season one is going to be very deep. I will tell you that. I have recorded, I think, 10 episodes of season one and it's deep, like deep, but then obviously, you know, I always have to add humor into my deep shit. But yeah, it's actually deep. We have guests for the series, and we may have other guests because we may be doing the what they don't tell you again. So like, we may have guests for that one. What else can you expect in season one? I'm trying to think because I know I made a note about what we can expect in season one, but I'm not with my phone right now. I actually cannot find my phone. Not like I lost it, but like I know I dropped it somewhere in my room, but I just cannot find it as of right now, so I can check that. But I think we're going to have 20 episodes for the season and maybe a bonus episode, because I'm actually thinking about doing a Q&A, but I don't know if I want to make it an episode itself or make it a bonus episode. And by the way, the Q&A isn't like a fact about me kind of thing, because as I said before, no one really cares. I don't really care. But it's just going to be like a very like, you know, when it's one episode, it's one topic and then we talk about one topic. But like, you can just ask me like very random questions and that would work. I just realized that I talk so much with my hands now, because like I'm just looking at my hand and I'm like, that's insane. But welcome to season one. I hope you enjoyed the episode about eating this. Okay, no, I don't think you're going to enjoy an episode about that. But yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say. Everything that has happened in my life since I last recorded, I have made into an episode in one way or the other. So y'all have fun. Y'all enjoy this season because this is going to be very fun. And I don't normally say that, but I'm seeing it right now because I've already recorded many episodes. So I know that, okay, this season we have it put together. But that's really all that I want to say. Keep up with the Instagram at the Soraya Effect Pod. That's pretty much all. My TikTok that I created for the podcast, I have not even touched it in God knows how long. I kind of knew that I wasn't going to use it that often, but I just enjoyed making the videos in the beginning. But if you want to go check the videos out, go check it. I think it's the Soraya Effect Podcast or the Soraya Effect Pod, one of them. But let us get into the episode where I'm going to give you guys another update. But for me, at the time when I recorded the episode, does that make sense? I don't know if it makes sense, but y'all enjoy. Okay, I actually forgot to kind of add this to the intro. My voice, like, what's going on? But mental state, I think I'm calm. But like, if I'm being completely honest, I have exams currently. They actually start tomorrow. So I can't really tell if my mental state is okay because I'm so busy with exams. But like before exams, I was actually like very good, like extremely good. But then again, it was before I came to school. So like, I don't know. But I'm calm. Like I don't have any reasons to be sad. But I'm kind of stressed because of school. But like, I'm calm. Yeah, that's all I want to say. Bye. Okay. Oh, fuck my... No, I wasn't going... No, we're going to address that. My mic fell. I think you can hear me adjusting this, but like it just fell and I didn't think it fell. And so I just looked at my mic and I was like, why is it down? So new year, not new me, but we're going to stop cussing excessively. Not because it affects me, because I don't even know that I'm doing it, But because I'm trying for you guys, I think it's because I'm alone in my room and I'm alone and I'm talking to myself, kind of. That's why I cuss excessively. But most of you listen to my podcast in public, and sometimes you have to put your phone down because I'm cussing too much. So for you guys, I'm going to try. Sometimes I do without knowing. That's a problem. And that's why I'm saying, oh, I'm going to try, because it's not that hard, but sometimes I may do without knowing. So that's the situation. But let me give you guys a kind of life update, which is not going to be necessary. Today is December 14th. December 14th, me, it's kind of having a shitty day. And the thing about me having a shitty day is that it's so easy for me to snap out of it. And it's so easy for me to just be like, this situation that's making me upset doesn't actually, you know, has no relevance in the bigger picture, kind of. But I want to kind of feel my feelings. Like, it's like, okay, I can simply and easily just, you know, how do I explain this? I can just simply snap out of it. But I'm like, no, I want time to feel what I'm feeling, because I can. Even if I know that, I can easily just snap out of it and move on with my life. But I'm just like, no, not yet. Let me just feel it. So that's, I wouldn't say it's my fault that I'm feeling the way I'm feeling, but I'm like, I can easily snap out of it. And I'm going to do just that. This podcast is kind of therapy. Then after doing that, I would journal, and life is great. Life is great. That sounds like I'm one spiritual human being. Best believe I'm not. Like, everything that I do, like podcasting, journaling, all of that, it all centers around the fact that I don't know how to communicate with people. So these are just like my mini ways of communicating with people. So it's not really some spiritual thing like that. But like, if it was, it's not that deep. But like, I think I'm spiritual in the sense that I do have a connection with my higher power, which is God. But like, I don't think I'm spiritual. I don't really believe in crystals and those card things, and I don't know, I'm just not spiritual in that sense. I mean, if you do that, all power to you, but not me, babes, not me. So I wouldn't say I'm like that kind of spiritual, but like, I journal and I talk to Mike, so I don't know where that gets me. But this is season 2. This is, no, season 1. I keep saying this is season 2. No, it's season 1. The other episodes were seasonless. So this is season 1. And season 1, it's not really different from what I've been doing since, but I just feel like it's kind of more deep, because a few weeks ago, I actually took like 3 weeks to write out notes for the topics that I want to talk about. I find myself making an episode, because I told you guys before, I can't really read. So like, if I were to note down everything I wanted to say about my podcast, you guys would know that I'm reading off of something so obvious. But like, I have seen that sometimes I forget what I want to say. Not really forget what I want to say, but like, when I'm editing the episode, I'm just like, ah, shit, I wanted to say that in the episode. Do you fucking know? Do you get? And so I just think it's going to be a good idea to write out notes. That would kind of help me not forget anything that I want to say, but it's still kind of the same thing. It's just helpful. I don't know why I didn't think of doing that sooner, but we learn new things every day, I guess. So yes, I did that for almost all my episodes, except the guest episodes. You know what the funny thing, I'm supposed to do that for the guest episodes, but like, I for some reason didn't do that. I think it's because I know that I'm going to have guests, I know the topic we're going to talk about, but at the same time, I don't really know what exactly we're going to talk about. So that's what I'm going to figure out when it's time, like the day I'm recording the episode. That's not be like, okay, I need to make notes for this, is that, and if I want to ask some questions for the guests, I'm like, yep, let me do that. But because of the fact that most of my, you know, episodes this season are going to be kind of deep, that's why I think it's necessary to like have notes on my phone so that I don't forget anything, because I don't want to do a part 2 of something that's difficult to talk about, if that makes sense. But in this episode, we are talking about eating disorders. And obviously, I'm going to issue a trigger warning in the beginning. But I also would not be mentioning calories or specific numbers because it's not necessary to me. But I'm still going to issue a trigger warning because I were the one recovering from an eating disorder. I don't think I would listen to an episode about that. Just gonna be honest with you. But at the same time, I also want to put this in there that I'm kind of running a risk that many people listening may be like, oh, what do you mean it's a risk? But like people that are, I know how to explain that, the people that do stuff on the internet know that this is kind of a risk, because first of all, it's something I'm still struggling with. That's the big risk. And then the smaller risk is when you kind of open up about your struggles with something on the internet, in the future, people can use that against you. Like, for example, Bella Hadid, Emma Chamberlain, they were kind of open about their struggles with eating in the beginning of their lifetime on social media and all of that. And then later, like 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, when they kind of make big changes to their bodies, like losing weight or all of that, people are like, yeah, it's the eating disorder. And even if it is, I don't really think it's helpful for a huge amount of people to point it out. So I feel like I'm running a risk because I don't think it's something that I'm going to not struggle with again in like a year. I mean, I can go very far in recovery in a year, yes, but I don't think it's something that's just going to disappear. So like, I'm running a risk here, and I'm still going to talk about it anyways, not necessarily because I need to talk about it, because I feel like many influencers or people on the internet always say, well, I'm still going to talk about this anyways because I need to talk about it. Like, you don't need to do anything. I want to talk about it because I feel like it's very common. It's something that I think I've experienced well enough to be able to talk about it, and I want to. So I know I'm running a risk. I know that it may come back to kind of bite me in the butthole or in the butt, but in the butt, but I don't really mind. I wouldn't say I don't care, because if I don't care, why would I talk about it? But like, I do care. Kind of scared, but at the same time, I'm still going to talk about it anyway. So like, let us get into the amazing episode. Kind of deep, but like, still amazing. The first thing that I want to talk about, which is kind of obvious, is kind of my experience with an eating disorder. You know what? I actually remember clearly how this went. Okay, so it was July 28th, and that was one of my sister's birthdays. And so because it was her birthday, I was like, you know what, since it's her birthday, let me eat all the food that I want to eat on this day, so that on August 1st, like, I would eat, so on August 1st I would start my weight loss journey. If you see my hands right now, it's weight loss journey. And August 1st was when it actually like started. Like, that was when, I mean, obviously I didn't get an eating disorder on the first day, but like, that was kind of how shit started. And then for like 3 months, I think I lost weight in 3 months, like a huge amount of weight in 3 months. And the thing about eating disorders is not like, oh, it's a shortcut to weight loss. The simple way to lose weight is, in plain terms, eat less and work out more. Plain terms, by the way. That was what I did, but it was to an extreme. And I think that's where EDs come, and by EDs I mean eating disorders. I think that's where it comes into the picture. It's when there is an extreme, and it's when it's mental. And, you know, I had Anna for a while, and then I obviously wasn't sustainable eating like a very small amount of food. And then I kind of discovered that I could, not that I could, but if I were to eat an amount of food, whether it was big or small, I could throw it up. And that led to kind of binge and purge. I wouldn't really call it bulimia, because I think it wasn't really something that I did every single day. I think, but I really don't know, like, if you have to do it every single day to be considered bulimia. But like, if I were to go above what I was allowed to eat in my mind, then I would throw it up. Or maybe not even go above, just I don't feel good about what I ate. I'm just like, yeah, I would let this out of my body. But for that, the bulimia, that's like very self-diagnosed, because I was just like kind of studying myself after I found out about the first one. And then I decided that I wanted to recover, which was not really real recovery, to be very honest, because I would still engage in those kind of behaviors. But it led to like a lot of binging. And to be fair, when you struggle with restricting, there's a binge that's coming. Like, anything you want to do, you can do it, but like a binge is going to come. And it did, and I ended up getting all the way back, so it was kind of pointless, to be very fucking honest. And yeah, I gained all the way back. And it came in the form of extreme hunger. And if you know extreme hunger, you know extreme hunger. Nothing can satisfy you until your body gains all the way back. So yes, I did in fact gain all the way back. And I still struggle with food. So like, what was the point? What was the reason? Well, let me tell you the reason. Constant, you know, people constantly picking me apart because of my body and stuff like that. And I wouldn't really say that people caused my eating disorder, even if they did, but I wouldn't say that they necessarily caused it to the level it got to. But I would say that they helped me start, and I would say like my mind helped me go an insane mile. Because I feel like when you get to a point of your ED, what people say to you don't actually have any effect on you anymore, because your mind has gone too far. People could tell you, you look so skinny, and you're like, no, I don't care what you think. I don't care how you see me. If I'm not satisfied, I don't need to hear anything from you. So you may think, oh, but you lost weight, so it means that people stopped body shaming you. Why didn't you just stop? I don't think it's about that. Yes, people's comments do start your eating disorder and make you so determined to get to a weight, but I don't really think that people's words, you know, push you to extremes. It gets to a point where you don't even think about what people were saying about you. You have believed what people said about you, that your brain is now fueling your behaviors. And even with the blaming people for your eating disorder, I think it's very valid. But I do want to say, Chloe Ting is someone who many people have blamed for their eating disorders. And I'm not going to take away from anybody's experience. I personally have never done a Chloe Ting workout in my life. I do kind of think it's unfair to blame a person for, especially when it's Chloe Ting. Like, if it were your family that were body shaming you, bullying you, that's different. But like, a person on the internet that just makes exercise videos, even if she may be passing some misinformation about how to get a flat tummy, blah, blah, blah. I honestly don't even know, because I've never even checked her thing. But I don't think it's fair to blame her for your eating disorder. You know what I think is fair to do? I think it's fair to blame MyFitnessPal. I'm not saying that, oh, pick blaming MyFitnessPal over blaming Chloe Ting. But I'm saying that if we want to blame someone for our eating thingy, I'm saying thingy. Well, if you want to blame anyone, I support blaming MyFitnessPal, because I don't really think it's a person. And I don't think Chloe Ting really said, oh, I think you should starve. Like, I don't know. But like, I don't think that's what she said. But like, MyFitnessPal said that and more. Like, that's like one thing that many people who struggled or struggle with an eating disorder have in common. MyFitnessPal. That's fucking crazy. And to be very honest, quite recently I actually downloaded MyFitnessPal back, which I don't know what was in my head, but I did. And that didn't even help me. Like, it made me go crazy. And in 2 days I deleted the app. I was like, nah, I can't do this. I can't do this again. Like, I just can't do this again. But I think that's my experience with an eating disorder in like very small scale, because many things happened. But like, just know that I went from restricting to restricting, but when I would go above my food intake that I wanted to have, I would then purge, which is throwing up the food that you eat, forcing yourself to throw up. And then I went to binging. And right now, I don't even know where I am, to be very honest. I don't think that there's no like label on it, but it's still hard, honestly. There's no label that I want to put on where I am right now. And I don't even want anyone to tell me where I am right now. But just so that it's terrible, but it's terrible. I feel like I've really fucked up my body. So like I'm suffering the consequences of those behaviors. Because it's not just, starve, then start to eat again and everything is fine. No, there are going to be consequences for the things that you did to your body in those times. And I wanted to say something, I don't remember. I was just thinking about something to say right now, but I don't remember. Let me think for like 1 minute. Yeah, I honestly don't remember what I was about to say. Like, I just thought of it when I was saying something else, and then I was about to say it and I just forgot. But the next thing I want to talk about is how I found out I had an eating disorder. Well, to be very honest, I didn't know what an eating disorder was until I had one. Like, I had never heard of it in my whole entire life. I don't know whether I was living under a rock, but like, I never heard of an eating disorder in my life until I had one. And let me tell you how I found out I had one. So I was still in my weight loss journey. God. I know the funny thing is, I've never been someone who took laxatives or drank some teas or like, I never did that. Never. So I think that it's so common to be like, oh, people with eating disorder, they take tea, they take coffee, they take drugs. Like, not everyone does that. And I'm one of these people who did not do that. To this day, I don't fancy teas and laxatives and all of that. I mean, I do take tea now, but it's not for any reason besides me just taking tea. And let me tell you, tea doesn't do shit. So drink all the tea you want and nothing's still going to happen. So I'm just here to give you that tip. So if you're drinking tea for the wrong reasons, not because you like tea, but you think it's going to shrink this and that, you're wasting your time. Not only your time, you're wasting your money. But so basically, I was still kind of in my weight loss phase. Very terrible phase. And you know why I actually went to meet a professional was because I felt like I was a failing anorexic. I was like, why do I, you know, restrict for a while and then go and eat X, Y, and Z? Like, why am I not just being an anorexic 24/7? Like, why do I have to want to eat things that I told myself that I shouldn't eat? And so I was 16, right? Was I 16? Yeah, I think I was 16. I think I just turned 16. And I saved up a huge chunk of money. Y'all know how expensive therapy is. I saved up my own money to see a therapist. Not because I was like, oh, I don't think it's healthy that my mind is the way it is because of food. No, I was thinking that they were going to tell me why I wasn't being a successful anorexic and how to be a good one. So I saved up money. I, you know, started talking to this therapist. That woman, I haven't heard from her in a very long time, but God bless her, I guess. She wasn't bad. She wasn't bad. Don't get me wrong. But I feel like she came into my life at a time where I wasn't even interested in figuring out what was wrong with me. So she was just wasting her time. Like, wasting her time. So God bless her for trying. But just wrong time. Right person, wrong as hell time. So basically, I was just telling her that I don't really get why I can't just starve. And why, you know, I have to think about eating things that I'm not supposed to eat. And honestly, it didn't even take time for her to tell me the problem. It did not even take time for her to tell me the problem. And I was like, what the fuck, why are you telling me that I have this? And I didn't even believe the woman. I mean, I knew that I was struggling, and I knew that deep down I kind of knew that something was wrong with me, but like, I was just like, no, I don't want to hear it. I'm not even skinny, leave all that bullshit for somebody else. And so that was kind of how I found out. I didn't know what it was before. I'd never even heard of it before. So it wasn't like, oh, I kind of knew what it was, but I was just living in denial. Like, I didn't even know what that shit was. And then it was just like, yikes. So like, this is actually an illness. Yikes. But then I didn't really do anything about the information that I got. So like, I mean, it was nice to know, but like, I was like, I didn't really do shit with what I was being told, because I was like, babe, I'm not skinny yet, so talk to me when I'm skinny. Tell me about recovery when I'm skinny. And you know when people say that, the same way you lost that weight, you're going to gain it back even faster. Baby, they are not lying. So like, don't even waste your time. Do not even waste your time. But I think that's basically all for how I found out that something was wrong with me. And let me tell you this right now. If you do not have a diagnosis, if you don't have anyone telling you that something is wrong with you, and you feel like something is wrong with you, then baby, something is wrong with you. No one that's normal and no one that is okay in the head mentally will doubt themselves, if that makes sense, especially when it comes to food. So even if you don't have a full-blown eating disorder, even if you just have disordered eating, please, please, please go see somebody about it. And I don't know many resources for therapists that are free or cheap. Personally, I don't even do therapy, so if I find, I would tell you, but like, see somebody, go on Quora Digest, even if you can't even see a professional, and just try to like reach out to as many people as you can. Because when you feel like you can do everything by yourself when it comes to an eating disorder, when you go too far in, you're not going to want to ask for help, and it's going to eat you alive. Trust me when I'm saying this. This podcast is the only place I've ever talked about my eating issues like fully, and I'm so grateful that I'm able to do that on here. But like, when you go so far in by yourself because you're misindependent like me, you're going to ruin yourself. And I'm being so fucking on. Oh no, I'm not supposed to cuss, but like, I'm being very honest about that. The next thing I want to talk about is, what does it feel like to have an eating disorder? I can't speak for everyone, and I also can't fully speak for myself, because there's many things that I've gone through that I've tried to just remove from my mind. But let me tell you that it's terrible. Like, having an eating disorder or just having a bad relationship with food is terrible. Like, I don't wish that upon anyone, and it feels terrible. It's hard to do normal things. And I feel like when I did start actual recovery, I had to remind myself that there's no going back to normal. I feel like I was always like, oh no, I want to go back to how I was before my eating disorder. Like, I want to go back to me before, but like, that's not possible. And there are things that are normal for other people that are going to trigger you. There are things that I can't do because I know I'm going to get triggered. I can't do fasting. I can't go to eat in a buffet. There are things that I just cannot do. And even if I'm like, oh, let me challenge myself, it's only going to end in relapse and bad things for myself. So it's best for me to just avoid those things. Dealing with this is terrible. And I feel like you have a different brain to many people, because food isn't something that, for example, if you're addicted to drugs, and I'm not trying to talk down on any addiction, but like, if you're addicted to drugs, it's kind of easy for a professional to tell you to just not keep drugs in your house or just stay away from drugs in general. But you can't stay away from food. And when you get to a point, you realize that it doesn't actually have anything to do with the food. It has everything to do with your mind. Because I did gain all the weight back. But even now, I'm struggling. I wouldn't say I'm struggling now, but like, even after gaining the weight back, I struggled more than I did when, you know, I was in my prime eating disorder phase, if that makes sense. So living with an eating disorder is actually very terrible, and it's something that's talked about on TikTok. I won't really say on social media, but I'll say on TikTok, because TikTok is a place for venting, and many people do struggle with eating issues. But in real life, it's very difficult to have people talk about it. And I'm not necessarily saying that everyone should start having conversations, because I don't think that would really help many people. I mean, it will in the small scale. Like, oh yeah, people are now talking about this. But would it actually help people to know what to do when they do have an eating disorder? I don't know. But I just know that it's something that's very talked about on the internet. It's very common. Many people struggle with it. Many people don't even know that that's what they're struggling with. But it's not really talked about in person. As I said before, I've never talked about it with anyone in person, because diet culture and all those diets and all those stupid shits are so pushed that if I were to exhibit some disordered behaviors, people just think, oh, she's just dieting, you know, and it's kind of crazy. And I struggled with a lot of relapse. When I say a lot, I mean a lot. Like, I think I would relapse maybe like 3 times a week. That was kind of my routine. And I noticed that every single time I would go to school, I would relapse, especially when I was in high school. So when I was in high school, I would not have breakfast because I didn't really want to. I didn't really like having breakfast in the morning. And then I would go to school. And okay, let me explain this. I'm someone who has always like loved food, which kind of sucks now because who would think that someone who loved food so much would, you know, struggle with this? But like, it's very common because that's like what people say to themselves, like, no, I love food so much, like I would never have an ED. But like, ha, shocker. But like, because I used to eat food so much, like, you know, like I just used to have fun with food and all of that. When you have an eating disorder, you're going to do everything in your power to make everyone believe that you're okay. And that was what I was struggling with in school. So I would eat so much food and I would just eat so that no one would think that anything was wrong with me. And I would go home and throw up everything and more. Like every single thing and more. And so being in school just caused me to have like the worst relapse. And even now that I'm in uni, it's still really bad because every time I do come to school, I do relapse. I hope things change when I go back to school in January, I think, yes. But every time I would come to school, I would relapse because sometimes I have a good routine going. I make my food myself. Yes, it's like a safe zone and it's me being in my comfort zone. I understand that. But I feel like it's just helpful for me to make my food myself. And before I came from a place of, oh no, I want to control everything. Like I was that crazy bitch that would remove ingredients from her food just to remove calories, which was crazy. But now I just feel like I'm able to treat myself good. I make my food with love. And that's why I enjoy making my food myself. But when I go to school, I'm not able to do that. And so it just makes me relapse, honestly. And the food choices in school aren't things that I enjoy. Like I'm someone who, to be honest, I don't really crave junk food that much, which is kind of crazy because like when I was restricting and I was telling myself that I wasn't allowed to have junk food, I was craving it so much. But now that I'm very much allowed to have whatever I want, I don't really crave it that much. And I know that I've always been a fruit person. I'm just recently, not really recently, but like in the past 2 years, I've become a vegetable person. So like my foods are like very nutritious and it's very easy for me to eat nutritious foods and stuff like that. But like those options aren't really available at school. So it makes me spiral and it's like really bad. And also when I go out, like most of the time with my eating disorder, I say no to outings because first of all, I'm eating food outside of my house and my hands. And also I'm eating foods in front of people, one, and also foods that are maybe higher in X, Y, and Z. And so I would say no to outings. And if I did go for outings, I would eat, have fun, quote unquote. Meanwhile, I'm actually thinking about food 24/7. And then I would throw everything up. And so relapse is very normal. But at the same time, it's still very hard because you feel like you're starting over. And that's a very disgusting feeling because it's like, oh, wait, I've already come so far. Like, why do I have to go back to the beginning? You know, that's kind of difficult. But I take it from me when I say that I relapse almost every other day. Not right now though. I've been really good. Here and there I've been struggling, yes. But like I don't think I've relapsed in maybe a month. And that may be small to somebody out there, but like for me, that shit is big. Okay, not up to a month. Not up to a month yet, so like maybe up to a month. No, not up to a month for sure. But like almost a month, and that's like really good, and I'm very happy about that. The next thing I want to talk about is something that I saw, I think, on TikTok, which said that self-hate is the reason why people engage in behaviors that they know aren't good for them. If you struggle with addiction, if you struggle with an eating disorder, self-harm, and you've gotten to a point of healing where you know that what you're doing isn't good for you. There was a time in my eating disorder that I didn't know I was doing anything bad. And there was also a time where I knew that I was doing something bad, but I was still doing it. Both situations are kind of the same and also kind of different. Behaviors are the same, but there's one that knows that she's doing something bad. And there's the other that is just kind of oblivious to it. When I did know that I was doing something bad and I was still doing it, it was purely out of self-hate. And I didn't know that for a while. I didn't know that for almost a year plus, until I remember seeing it somewhere that was like, you don't love yourself and that's why you keep doing things that you know aren't good for you. And I'm so quick to be like, oh no, 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 I love myself, because I believe that I loved myself because I knew myself. Like, not necessarily knew myself. I don't think I actually knew myself. But because I was living with myself, I was like, you know what? I'm tolerating myself. So of course I love myself. But I didn't actually love myself. And I think that that's a journey that you have to go on to actually heal. If you don't go on the self-love journey, which is a cliche, like, oh, love yourself. It's so cliche. And it's sometimes even corny, but it's so true. Until I decided that I was going to actually take time to know myself. First of all, I'm not just accepting who I don't know. I'm not just saying that, oh, I accept myself the way I am, da da da. I'm not just saying that. I'm choosing to know myself because I'm worth knowing, and I'm choosing to love myself. And when I made the decision to do those two things, I realized that if I loved myself, I wouldn't, you know, engage in this kind of behaviors. I would never do that to someone that I love. I would never starve someone that I love. I would never cook food and take out ingredients for someone that I love. So if I was able to show that love to other people, I can 1000% do it to myself, because nobody's going to love me the way I can love myself and the way I am learning and working on loving myself as we speak. Definitely, I'm going to make an episode about self-love, but right now I've been on the self-love journey for like not up to a month, and I don't think I'm in any position to talk about it yet. So when I do get to that position, I will make an episode about that. But right now I'm taking time to really love myself and really work on self-love so that I can have things to tell you guys. I'm not just going to tell you guys what I think you guys should do. No, no, no. I'm going to tell you guys what I have done and what has actually worked. But just know that self-hate is the reason why you do things that you know aren't good for you. It's not because you don't have willpower. It's not because you're not strong enough. It's because you don't love yourself. And when you realize that you need to love yourself and you should love yourself, you wouldn't want to do things. Even if it's so easy to relapse, it's so easy to starve myself. It's very easy. Even right now, I don't even have an appetite. It's difficult for me to eat. And I know that it's not because I'm starving myself. It's just because I'm not really having an appetite. Tomorrow, I may wake up and be like, starving myself kind of felt good. Let me continue. I'm not going to allow that, because I'm not going to allow someone that I love to do that. And period. But I also found out that when I was planning relapse, meaning that I would say, okay, I can eat whatever I want today because tomorrow I'm going to starve myself, calories somehow did not matter. Like, somehow when I was telling myself that I was going to starve tomorrow, what I was eating today just didn't have any relevance whatsoever. So it's kind of interesting how it's not actually about the food, it's about the mindset. Because some days I would eat and I'm not even feeling anything because I know that I'm going to starve myself tomorrow. But if I didn't think about starving myself tomorrow, somehow eating was hard. So it didn't really have that much to do with food. And I also think it's very important to talk about the non-mental consequences of having an eating disorder. Because I know that there is mental baggage and I know that there is many mental things that come with it. But there are also very physical things. You can have low blood sugar, no period. And I know many people don't want to have their period, but it's not as good as you think it is. Because deep down, you know that there is something wrong with you and that's why you're not having your period. It's not just because God said, let me allow my baby to rest from period cramps. You know there's something wrong with you, and so you're not even going to be able to rest. IBS and constipation. Baby, this is TMI, but I don't even know how to say this without sounding kind of disgusting. I don't go to the toilet like a normal human being for the number two. I can do the number two like maybe once in like 3 weeks, and that's like at best. So just know that there are many consequences, many more. Your hair, your fine hair on your head is going to thin out. It's going to be terrible. You're going to break out terribly, very terribly. You're going to be stressed. You're going to look so fucking ugly from stress. So just know that, yes, mental consequences exist, but the physical ones are crazy. And I would honestly advise everyone to recover. I think I started recovery, like actual recovery, in November of 2022. I don't remember when exactly. I wish I could. I think I have it in my journal somewhere, but I'm too lazy to open it. But I know I did start in November, like actual recovery. And that was more than 2 years after developing an eating disorder. Let me tell you, I've gone on recovery, some fake ass recovery, a few times. But this was the time where I actually, you know, did a real recovery. And let me tell you, my world went quiet. It's so easy for me to eat when I know that I'm going to starve the next day. But for the first time, I wasn't planning to starve myself. And my world went quiet. And I remember I cried so much. Firstly, because I was like, wow, you've actually suffered, babes. All for what? People's stupid comments. Not even for people to think that I now look hot, but so that people could stop making those comments. Those people that made those comments, they're living their lives peacefully. And I was the one that suffered for it. And that was just like, wow, I actually lost a huge chunk of my life to my eating disorder. And the reason my world went quiet was because I knew that I didn't have that thing to fixate on anymore. I wasn't eating disorder Debbie anymore. I actually had a real life to live, and I just didn't even know where to start because I was like so used to thinking about food 24/7. Like that was the only thing that was on my mind. But for the first time, my world went quiet and I was just like, wow, so I have to actually start living now. This is kind of strange. And I really support recovery. And sometimes it's hard to recover without having a therapist and without having a team. And I did not have that and I don't have that. And I know it would be very helpful to get one. A part of me doesn't want it and I don't know why. Maybe when I do get older, I would want a team. And when I do get to a stage, I would want a team. But really, self-love is the biggest thing. And just try. That's just the best thing. Don't think about how you're going to recover for a year, how you're going to stay clean for a year. Think about how you're going to stay clean for today. And before I started my podcast, I was always like, influencers are the most pointless individuals to ever exist. And I don't consider myself to be an influencer, but I'm just using influencer as a term to cover all form of content creation. But I just want you guys to know that healing is very personal. It's very personal. It's you that makes the choice. But at the same time, it's also very communal. And why I say that is because I've listened to many podcasts. I've watched many YouTube channels that have not necessarily healed me, but have helped me go a step further in my recovery. And I think healing is very communal. And that's one of the reasons why I'm making this episode, because I know that you may not have people in real life to help you recover. Why did I just choke up? Bro, you know when you like want to cry and then you're like holding it back and then your eye like hurts? That just will happen right now. And I have no idea why I want to cry. But healing is communal. And you may not have people in person to help you, but you can always have people on the internet to listen to. Not necessarily, I'm not healing you, I'm not fixing you. Best believe that you are doing everything yourself. But a word can go a long way. The same way a word and words of people destroyed me to the point where I almost killed myself for the sake of being skinny, a word can also go a long way in the sense of healing. And I really encourage everyone to heal. What's the worst thing that could happen? You can gain weight, like, but you're gaining your life back. When I lost weight, I lost more than weight. I lost my life. I lost the ability to have fun. I lost the ability to look in the mirror and actually see something good. I lost the ability to live life without thinking about food. Now that I've gained the weight back, I've gained life. Like, even if I still struggle with food, now I can eat whatever combination anyone gives me without trying to be a fucking calculator that's thinking about all the numbers in the food. Life isn't like that. Even if you may not be skinny, even if you may not be the social standard of beauty, is that what it's called? Social, is that? Oh, I think it's societal standards of beauty. Even if you're not that, babes, as long as you're happy, That's the only thing that matters. That is the only thing that you should think of. Take care of your health. When people say body positivity, when people say recovery, they don't say go and eat the most disgusting, unhealthy foods. Not really disgusting. I don't think it's nice to call food disgusting. Sorry, I correct myself. But no one's saying that you have to go and eat the most disgusting... But no one says that you have to go and eat the most unhealthy food. Your body does not crave food that you allow yourself to eat every once in a while, or even every day. If you allow yourself to eat all the foods that you want every day, your body's not going to be like, oh wait, I want a burger every single day. Even if a burger is not a bad food, but like that's just like a very common example of what people consider to be junk food. But just know that, please be happy. Eat what you want. Have fun. If it's a burger that you want every day, please eat a burger every day. Your body will not crave it every day for sure, but like, please eat and have fun with your life. You are too precious to worry about food. Like, food was given to us to enjoy. Have fun. Go out with your friends. Don't say you don't want to go out because you don't want to eat. Go out, have fun, live life to the fullest, and just enjoy life. Life is so much fun, and food is a huge part of life. Like, if you're a foodie, have fun with that. Food is a very, very huge part of life, and it's something that brings people together. When I was struggling with an eating disorder, even if I still am struggling, but like when I was in my prime, if someone would take a bite out of my food, I would be so fucking pissed because I've already counted the fuck out of that food. Sorry for cussing, but I needed that emphasis. So like, now I can share food with people because I know that I'm not restricted to that plate of food. I'm not restricting myself. I'm allowed to eat whatever the fuck I want. Sorry for cussing again, but I'm going to emphasize on that. And my eating disorder taught me many things. That nothing that comes fast is worth it. It took me 3 months to lose X, Y, and Z amount of weight. And I had to suffer the consequences for 2 years plus. And I'm not saying that my ED was because I was trying to find a shortcut. Nope, I did everything the right way. Maybe just in extremes. But I had to suffer for God knows how long. Just for what? Just for what? To look thinner. No one actually gives a shit. That's the funny thing. People will tell me, oh, you look great. After that, they move on with their lives. But I'm the one suffering. Just to hear those words. Who gives a shit? The next thing I learned is that words do have power. I think that when you're a bigger person, you can win. Because when you're bigger, people tell you to go to the gym. But when they see you going to the gym, they make fun of you and they give you unsolicited advice. And I'm just like, so you really can win. And I do have many triggers that I do avoid because I just have to. Because I was always on the bandwagon of life doesn't have a trigger warning. So I was always that kind of person that's like, things shouldn't trigger you, but things do trigger me. And people do say that I don't eat, which kind of triggers me because I eat, but then I don't want to feel like I have food in my body sometimes. And so I go to eat things that don't really fill me up. Things like pancake or like bread, they don't really fill me up, even though they do have calories. So I opt for eating those things over eating like actual like rice and stuff like that, because it just makes me feel like I'm not actually eating, and that's the feeling that I want even if I'm actually eating. So that's why I say it doesn't actually have that much to do with food. And so people saying that I don't eat kind of triggers me, but like, it's not their fault that they're saying those things because they don't actually see me eat, and that's fair. But like, I have to learn that they don't really know what I'm going through, so I'm not allowed to take what they're saying personally. And when you're a bigger person, the self-care culture kind of only benefits smaller people. Because when you're bigger, people want you to practice apathy when it comes to your appearance and when it comes to your health. Let's even leave appearance aside, your health. When a bigger person is eating healthier, it's seen as they're dieting. Or it's seen as, oh, they're trying to pretend to eat healthy. So I feel like when you're bigger, you tend to fall more to the apathy side of not caring what you look like and not caring about your health. Because that's what people are taught to do when they're bigger. But I don't support that. And I think that just don't care what people say about you. As hard as it is and as hard as you may be, just don't care. You can do this. Don't listen to anyone. Take care of your health. Health is wealth. And health doesn't mean a size. Let me tell you, I was fucking sick. Sorry for cussing, but I was sick when I was skinnier. And now that I'm bigger, I'm healthier. I have fun with my life. I can move. I have energy to do shit that I didn't have energy to do when I was a walking zombie, starving myself to, like, people can tell me that I look good. The fuck? The fuck? And just know that you can win with people. I remember when, because I work out very often because I want to. And so when I work out in school, I have to take the key to go to the workout room, which is called a game room. And so I remember one day, one of the people that were supposed to give me the key, she was like, why do you exercise? What? No, like, why do you go to the game room? And I was like, oh, I go there to work out. And she was like, people that need to work out aren't even working out. I don't know why it's you that's working out. And I was like, if I was bigger, you would make fun of me for working out. Now that I'm not as big, you're making fun of me for working out. So, like, when do I actually win? When do I win? Just know that you don't win with people, so don't even listen to what people say about you. Fuck them. Permission to cuss right now. Fuck those bitches. And just know that you have to forgive people. When it comes to healing and self-love, you have to forgive people. Forgive people who made you hate yourself. Forgive people who made you go this far in your eating disorder or whatever you're struggling with. And forgive yourself for allowing you to harm yourself and for allowing you to go so far deep into it. And also for believing the lies that people told you. It's all about forgiveness. Healing is personal in the sense that it's you that's making the choice. The person who made you suffer isn't going to be the one to heal you. So that's why I think healing is personal. I think it's communal in the sense that you do need a community to help you heal. But also personal. And you need to forgive. Let that shit go. Let things go. Because you holding on to it isn't going to help you. And I just would advise you guys to take care of yourself. Eating the food will do less harm than not eating the food. If you're thinking about eating X, Y, and Z and you're like, oh, no, I've already had this every day of the week, you saying that you're not going to eat the food will do more harm than you actually eating the food and forgetting about it and moving on with your life. I promise you that. And just know that you have to recover someday. That is just the truth. One day you're going to have to recover. So why not just do it now? Why not just make the choice to recover now? There's nothing you're going to benefit from wasting your time saying that, oh, when I get this weight and when I get this waist, I'm going to recover. You're wasting your time because you're still going to gain the weight back. So why not just figure out your relationship with food and actually be healthy and live your life freely? And I think me having an eating disorder has given me the superpower to know that, one, I'm able to tell when someone struggles with food, and that's a great thing. Even if I don't really know what to say to someone without attacking them, but I would say that it has given me the ability to know when someone struggles. And also, it has kind of made me know so much about nutrition that all them stupid influencers, the people that would sell you some weight loss shit, they have nothing on me because I already know all the information I need to know about all of that. Like, I know everything a nutritionist is supposed to know about food, honestly, because I know so much, maybe even too much. But, like, no one's going to sell me some stupid shit about, take this tea to lose, like, nah, I don't even want any of that. Like, honestly, I just want to be healthy, and that's, like, my goal in life, and mind and body. I'm not going to be healthy body and then my mind is somewhere else. Hell no. There's no picking one over the other. They're both very important. So just know that you have you, and that's the only person you have. And I wish you the absolute best if you do struggle. And if you know anyone that struggles, please don't attack them and don't be like, oh, you have an eating disorder, let's go and figure out how you're going to get healed. That doesn't really help anybody. So just know that I got you. You got you. Before I got you, you got you. And you need to have you before I can have you, baby. So don't think that anyone's going to come and save you. Nobody's going to do that for you. And I wish you the absolute best. And I wish you healing. Stop focusing too much on celebrities. Many celebrities do struggle with eating disorders, and them doing things that are just them having a mental illness shouldn't make you live your life according to how they live their lives. Don't call out Bella Hadid, Khloe Kardashian because they struggle with food. They are struggling and they are human beings who struggle. And I'm someone who does struggle, so I know that they are human beings and sometimes they know that they struggle and sometimes it's hard to snap out of it. And it's also very hard to have people constantly call you out for struggling, which will make you want to prove that you're not struggling, which is going to make you worse. Like, think about what I was saying about me going to school and was eating the whole house to make it look like I wasn't struggling, but meanwhile I was suffering. So you continuously calling out people for struggling with food isn't really going to help them. All they're going to want to do is prove to you that they're not struggling, and it's going to make them struggle more if they are actually struggling. Or maybe they're just naturally skinny. That exists too. Hi guys, my voice sounds so raspy, but this is future me. You know the thing, I was always like trying to, like, I've always wanted to do future me in like episodes, but I've always been kind of too lazy to edit, you know, the future me coming in and everything. But now I'm just like, I don't really care anymore, so I'm going to always do future me if I have anything to add to an episode. But I want to give you another reason to recover from your ED, because I just remember this. So 2021 Christmas, I went to Delta because I'm from Delta. Why did I even go there again? I don't remember why I went there because I don't think there was an occasion. But yeah, I went there, and I'm not like, I'm Igbo, yeah, but like, I'm not somebody that goes to the village every Christmas. So like, going there, I hadn't gone there in like maybe 6 years, I think. Yeah. So we went there and everything, and I was kind of pissed that we were going there because I knew that I wouldn't have control over the food I was eating there because I wasn't going to go to the kitchen when a lot of people are there, especially adults, because you guys know I do not like adults. So, and I also like was kind of pissed because, you know, even if they were kind of in control of what I was eating because they were the ones making the food, I was like, you know, this is trigger warning, but like, I was like, there's no way for me to throw up the food if, you know, they feed me something that I'm not allowed to eat in my brain kind of vibe. So I was just kind of pissed. And throughout the whole time I was there, I think I was there for like 2 weeks, I think. I think I only ate like maybe six times, like actual meals, maybe six times. And I was just very, like, see, on a normal day, yeah, I do get irritated very easily. Yes, true. But when you don't eat, the kind of anger that you feel is something else. And literally, if you can see pictures of me from that time, I look like The Walking Dead. And it's not even like, oh, I wasn't sleeping. Bro, I was sleeping. Like, I would sleep to avoid eating. I was in my room 25/8. Like, I did everything to avoid eating. And it's not even like, oh, if I was eating well, I may have, you know, had the best time, but like, definitely I would have experienced more because it was actually fun because my cousins were there and everything. But me just, you know, having the ED brain of, oh, I need to starve, I can't eat, ruined the whole thing because I was pissed 24/7. Like, literally, I would be like, okay, let me go and make something for myself to eat when everyone is done. And somebody would just do something to annoy me. And before you know it, I take the anger out on my appetite. Bro, like, now that I'm thinking about it, you know, I'm like, that was crazy. But like, then I knew it wasn't the best, but like, oh well, you know, like, who cares if I'm killing myself? I don't really care. But recover so that you can enjoy holidays and family time. That was Christmas holiday, like on the day of Christmas, that's when I went there, and I didn't have fun at all. All I was thinking about was food. And the thing is, yeah, that I was just refusing all the food that was offered to me. And like, on a normal day, I'm kind of like a picky eater, kind of. But that one was just horrible. Very terrible. Very terrible. Like, it was terrible. And you know, the thing is, you don't know what someone is going through, so you shouldn't make comments. But like, obviously, the aunties will make comments. And they will say things like, oh, you don't even have a stomach. Or like, you know, you can go into modeling because you have so because you have so much discipline and shit like that. Like, I didn't take it to heart. I didn't get offended by it because I knew that they kind of didn't know. I mean, then it was like, yeah, period, no stomach gang, period. But like, now that I'm like, okay, those comments kind of fueled, you know, my ED and everything. I don't hold anything against them. Like, these are just adults making adult comments. Like, I have very much chill sometimes when it comes to the older generation because they don't really know much. So I'm just like, you know, just leave them. I don't take shit to heart when they say stuff. But it was a very terrible time. There's no like sweet memory attached to it. It's a very, very terrible time. So please recover so that you can enjoy some shit in your life. Please have fun with life. Life is worth living. I just saw a kind of like a meme-ish, but like kind of those things from Twitter. My mic just fell. What the hell? I hate when my mic falls because like I never like placed it in the way it was before it fell until like there's a difference in how I was sounding. But yeah, I saw a Twitter thingy that said life is too short to be suicidal or to commit suicide. Like, be patient, you're going to die anyways. That was so fucking funny. I'm so sorry. It was too funny. But yeah, literally live life. Live life to the fullest. Like, yeah, aim to be healthy. But like, whether you're a size 0, a size 10, a size 20, we're still gonna die anyway. So live life to the fullest. What else though? What else? Oh my goodness, this too. So like, I usually get comments from people around me, especially in school. Like, oh, you don't eat. Or like, I've never seen you eat real food, but like in my head, and this is actually a fact, like, yes, this may be something that came from my eating disorder, but like it's still a fact. Anything that has calories is food, period. Yes, it may not be the most nutrition-filled food, and it may not be the most filling food, but everything that has calories is food. People would see me eat things like bread or like pancakes and they'd be like, that's not real food. This is, you know how the people like adults talk and they're like, that's not real food, like you have to eat real food, but like the calories say otherwise. So like it just kind of pissed me off when people would be like, you didn't eat. I'm like, bro, like, do you know how many calories I have eaten today? The fuck. But that's really all that I want to see for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I wish everyone the best once again, and you honestly have this. If you love yourself, you can do anything, any fucking thing. Sorry for cussing again, but I've come to the end of the episode. I have been recording for way too long, and this is going to be a very long episode, but thank you so much for listening. Take your time with yourself. I wish you the absolute best once again, and I hope you have an amazing day, and I hope to talk to you next week. Subscribe to The Zariah Effect anywhere you listen. Rate my podcast 5 stars and leave a review. Tell me what you think about the podcast. Tell me what you want to hear. And I will see you guys in my next episode. Love you very much. And if anything, text me on Instagram. When I say my DM is always open, or my DMs are always open, I don't say that just to say that. My DMs are actually always open. I don't want men texting me, hey baby, what's up, in my DMs. I want people telling me, oh, I need help with this, or I need someone to vent to. There are real people that I want to hear from, and which are people listening to the pod, of course. So that's the end of the episode. I love you guys very much, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.